Welcome to Advanced Automation, a podcast by Calvary Robotics, where you'll find industry leaders and experts sharing their thoughts on the world of automation.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening. I'm Josh Gravel, your host for this installment of Advanced Automation. Today, we have with us Sean Foley. Sean is the global product manager at Banner Engineering. He holds a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering at the University of Minnesota. Sean, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much, Josh, for having me on. Really, really great to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Sean, today we'll be talking primarily about Banner's remote I/O technology with the I/O Link and the new and exciting Snap Technology IIoT product line. But before we dive into all that, could you take us through a brief history of your journey of what brought you to where you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in Minnesota for about 20 years. And when I was younger, we'd travel around a lot with my family. So we actually moved to Minnesota from England when I was young, and I've been in Minnesota now since 2002. And I was always a kid who had a lot of different, I think, interests. And I always loved math and science. And so that kind of gave me an inkling of kind of what I was going to study in college. I was always interested in solving problems. I think I've always had the attitude, one of the best advice that was given to me is to kind of look at problems, whether it's a math problem or other type of problem, as puzzles. And so I always liked solving puzzles. And that kind of led me into engineering at the University of Minnesota. So I studied mechanical engineering at the University of Minnesota. And I really, to be honest, didn't exactly know what field I was going to get into in college. I was kind of undecided, and I decided to take a internship at an industrial automation company. And that summer, I just learned so much. I really kind of fell in love with the industry, how the products work together, how we could use these products to help solve puzzles for customers and provide real value in industrial automation. So I kind of fell in love with it, and I decided to take a full-time position at that company as an application engineer. I absolutely loved being an application engineer because it allowed me to help not only learn a ton about products and the industries, whether it be in industrial automation, process automation, industrial controls, sensor technology, but it also gave me the opportunity to help customers, every day with their applications and helping them solve problems that provide real value. And I really got a big kick out of that. And then kind of gradually moved into marketing roles at that company, and then into product management. So I really liked being involved in, taking in customer input on maybe an existing product or an idea for a new product, and seeing how we could build something for that would provide real value, not just to one customer, but to many customers, and bringing products to the market. So I kind of loved that side of it too. And then eventually became a trainer. So training the channel at that company. And then finally moved to Banner Engineering in 2001 as a global product manager. And it's been experience here at Banner. It's such a great company to work for. Our motto is really about generating new products every day, new solutions every day that are top quality, providing value to our customers. And Banner has thousands of products, in photoelectric sensors, safety products, lighting products, our industrial wireless business unit. Now, in the last 2 years, we've been developing new technology in the area of Snap Signal and remote I/O. So it's been a journey, and it's been a lot of fun, and I've been learning a lot, and I'm still learning a lot. So it's been a great thing, and I love learning. So that's important to me.
Yeah, I noticed a trend, I think, from our Calvary TV episodes to even the podcast episodes with Advanced Automation. People, engineers, you notice the two things. One is where they are, usually depending on the length of their career, but if they've have been in the industry for a little while, it's not always where they thought they might be when they started. They kind of take different trajectories, and that's pretty neat to see that, you just let the path kind of take you where you start getting interest, and then maybe follow that up. And then the other one is, like you said, for the applications engineering aspect, is that I've talked to a lot of our engineers, and what they love about, especially in the automation realm, is that you're dealing with all the different industries, all the different products, but there is a lot of crossover and cross-pollination, which is pretty neat. So you get lessons learned, but you're also diversified. So it's cool to hear another kind of case study of that from you.
Yeah, I think sometimes you just kind of, you kind of, to early on, you're kind of bouncing wall against walls, trying to figure out what you like and what you're good at, and what gives you energy. And I've been really so lucky too with the mentors I've had throughout, you know, throughout my career early on with getting advice and asking questions to people who've been in the industry for decades. And I've been so lucky, and that's helped me immensely.
Yeah. I love that line. I'm thinking I'm going to use that. What gives you energy? That's a great way to put that. That's awesome. Okay. If next for our listeners who are not familiar or just need a refresh, can you tell us about Banner Engineering, please?
Yeah. So Banner Engineering has been, a company that started in the 60s. It started off primarily focused on sensors. It was founded by Bob Fayfield, fantastic, brilliant innovator and engineer. And it's grown, you know, exponentially since then. And we're not only doing sensor technology anymore, we've branched into safety products, safety controllers. We could talk at length about all the safety products. Our lighting portfolio is the best, you know, in the industry for, you know, we talk about giving your machine, giving your factory a voice with visual factory elements. And that's very, that's grown exponentially as well. We also have, you know, these new products with remote IO and Snap Signal and industrial wireless. Mm-hmm. And those products have been the industrial wireless business unit that Snap Signal is made of is kind of grown into kind of a wired portfolio as well. But wireless is, we have wireless nodes and controllers that allow our customers to access data, particularly on end user equipment, but also on OEM machine equipment. And then from there, we started looking at, you know, we have these battery powered nodes. Let's start looking at other ways to collect data on these machines. And Snap Signal was kind of born as kind of a wired infrastructure, a line powered infrastructure for giving our end users access to that critical data. And that's kind of how Snap Signal came about. It's a kind of a product family that I've been involved in during my time at Banner since it started. And also with kind of the remote IO products, it's been really fun to be a part of that team who's building and bringing a lot of new products to the market in that area.
Yeah. What about the global footprint? Are you guys all over the world or where the headquarters are?
Yeah. So we're headquartered in Minnesota, in Plymouth, Minnesota. Nice. But we've got our channel and channel partners all over the world. So it's truly a global organization. And we've got success at kind of all over the world, whether it be in China, Europe, Asia. Really all over the world, you'll be able to find Banner products. So it's great to be a part of a global company that has a really global impact.
Wonderful. Now, where to start? Do you want to dive into the remote IO technology, or do you want to go into the new Snap, Signal?
Yeah.
I'll let you pick.
I could start off with talking a little bit about Snap Signal.
Okay.
And it's really been fantastic to be a part of that. How we kind of started that as a concept, and it was something that our leader of our organization it really kind of invented as a concept. And being an engineering company, having leadership so heavily involved, and you know their engineering minds, it was really cool to be a part of that journey of taking Snap Signal to the market. But really, what Snap Signal is, it's an overlay network. And so, what do I mean by overlay? So overlays, and we're targeting Snap Signal primarily at end users. Mm-hmm. But an overlay network means we're taking this Snap Signal network, putting it over the top of an existing control system. So we're not diving into the code, we're not diving into the PLC, and it allows our end users to access data on their existing machines and existing equipment across their factory. So with Snap Signal, we're not touching the PLC, we're not diving into the code, but we're able to add sensors to existing pieces of equipment without disrupting their PLC, bringing it into our DXM controller, which is really the consolidator for all this data, and then sending the data where it needs to go for our end users. And sometimes that data is going to a cloud platform, mm-hmm. like Banner's own cloud data services that they may be using, or other cloud platforms like AWS IoT Core, for example. We're also sending data many times for our end users to SCADA systems. So like Ignition for perhaps, Kepware, many of our end users are sending data to HMIs or even to PLCs, where from the PLCs they could extract the data to another cloud platform as well. So it's all about non-invasively adding this technology, whether it be new sensors or even tapping into existing sensors. And what SnapSwing allows us to do is it allows us to convert all this sensor data to a unified serial protocol called RS-45 protocol, and then bring it into our DXM. And so our DXM serves, again, as the consolidator for this. And really, what we found is, you know, there's a lot of myths, I think, around the concept of data collection and IIoT. And one of the myths we often run into is that IIoT and data collection, you know, it's been that word IIoT has been around for a long time. Many people think it's kind of as a buzzword. Mm-hmm. It's cutting edge technology, and it's only suitable for brand new machines, brand new equipment that'll have this. And what we're finding is actually the opposite. We're finding most of IIoT's value comes from retrofitting brownfield sites, existing equipment that could have been installed for decades. You know, the average age of manufacturing assets in the United States is 20 years old. So there's so many machines and equipment out there that could be operating optimally, more optimally, by giving end users access to that critical data that they need to make better, you know, data-driven decisions. You know, one of the things I often like to look at is really looking at the end user's goals, you know, even at a corporate level. What are they looking to do with the data? And I think you could walk into any end user, any company, and they'll have initiatives in place where they're trying to reduce their downtime events. They're trying to improve their delivery times. They're trying to optimize their labor force. And they can't do that really without access to data. I mean, we call it, you know, you can't really manage what you don't measure. And so with SnapSignal, we could give them access to that data very easily. And we call the strategy we often like to use, it's called think big, start small, and scale fast. So think big with it. So when you're collecting your data, what is your end goal? You know, what are you trying to do across your organization? Perhaps it's, you know, you're trying to reduce downtime in your facility by 30% by year 2030, for example, or you're trying to improve your OEE by a certain percentage, or you're trying to better optimize your labor force so things are running optimally, or you're trying to optimize your delivery times for your customers. But really understanding those goals really helps us come up with a strategy for data collection. And what we often like to do, so we think big, but start small. And with SnapSignal, you could really start small by just adding maybe a couple of sensors, a couple of devices to your existing equipment to give you access to that data. You gain confidence in that data, and then you could scale fast. And with SnapSignal, you could start off, maybe you just want to monitor a motor. You know, one of the, you know, a facilities manager's worst nightmare could be a failed motor. Your revenues are instantly could be in jeopardy. You know, I've seen cases where motor downtimes can cause tens of thousands, if not six figures, in downtime cost over just a couple of hours. And that could be massively significant for organization. But adding a vibration sensor to a motor, so you start to get the baseline of that data. And if that data starts, vibration or temperature data starts to go above or below a certain threshold, having that data at your fingertips to say, oh, I just got a notification via Microsoft Teams or a text message because I have a data collection system in place that automatically notifies me, almost like a check engine light, if those vibration or temperature thresholds go too high. But the nice thing is, it's not just vibration. We could pull in just about any sensor signal into our SnapSignal overlays. And the reason that's possible is because of our converters. Our converters serve as a way to make us truly brand agnostic. We've got converters that can convert analog signals, 0 to 10, 4 to 20 signals that may be doing differential pressure measurement, flow measurement, tank level measurement, convert that signal over to that RS-45 protocol. We've also got converters that could convert thermistor signals or current monitoring, so some of our current transformers. or many of the many IO-Link sensors that are out there. There's tens of thousands of different IO-Link sensors that we could capture data from and bring into this overlay. And it's made possible by our converter technology. And then once it's converted, we could bring that into our consolidator again, the DXMR90. And that allows us to flexibly bring the data kind of where it needs to go. And again, it's your data. You can do with it what you need. The fact that ours is multi-protocol, it has our controller has all the important languages of Ethernet IP, Modbus TCP, Profinet, HTTPS push methods, and our controls have MQTT as well. So a lot of flexibility where you could send the data. But the SnapSignal ecosystem makes us where you could start small with it. But the beauty is that scalability. With that RS-45 protocol, that serial protocol, you could have one controller connected to dozens of sensors and bring it into this overlay. So it's a great consolidator of not just a few sensors, but many sensors and devices that you want to pull in. So it's been really exciting, and working with end users who start to see the value in it, and then they start to scale up. That's what gives me a lot of excitement and a lot of energy. When they start to see the value in the data, perhaps it's they see the instant ROI with they started using this technology, and they've caught a failure before it causes a massive downtime event. Particularly maybe on a motor, for example. Maybe they're monitoring current draw on a motor to get that baseline, but also vibration on a motor. Maybe they're monitoring tank level to see if tank level is going too high or pressure is too high in a line. The applications where you could add this are virtually limitless, and it really depends on kind of what your goals are, what your pain points are. And one of those pain points when I'm asking end users is kind of what assets in your facility, if they were to fail, would be catastrophic to your production? And how do you currently monitor those assets? There's many end users who go around and they're monitoring those critical assets on a schedule, maybe once a week, maybe once a month. They're copying sensor values into a clipboard. What we find is, clipboards, they failures don't happen on a schedule. They happen. Yeah. You could have a perfect sensor reading on Monday, and on Tuesday your asset fails catastrophically and you're dealing with downtime events. But having a method to continuously monitor those critical assets, get that check engine light before that thing fails entirely, we've seen cases where you can have almost instant ROI that pays for the entire system very, very quickly with this. And that's just the instantaneous return of investment. The long-term return of investment comes from analyzing that data over time, right. Using that data, collecting that data, analyzing that data. So we've seen, it's been really fun to be a part of those conversations and seeing those success stories. That's what makes me seeing those success stories where we provide value and provide a very significant ROI with this type of technology. So
From the fact that it's, the legacy equipment can be, you can implement this with, retroactively, right? To obviously the new equipment is awesome. The agnostic aspect, scalability, it sounds limitless. So I want to ask, are there any, roadblocks though that you do kind of see for adoption for the SnapSignal?
Yeah, I think some organizations too, it's really depending on where they're at and their journey. And I think, sometimes with determining that ROI and trying to get the budget to implement this technology, that's a challenge too. Sometimes it's a case where it takes for them to maybe have a catastrophic failure or downtime event for them to actually look at installing this. Yeah. I think it's good to be proactive with this technology and adding it, obviously before you have some of those events, but sometimes it takes almost those failures to drive an organization to start looking at this technology, to budget it out. Sometimes that could be a roadblock. I've seen that. Sure. And then I think other times is organizations are bombarded with different platforms that they could use. And there's other companies out there that do data collection and data monitoring, but they may only specialize in one area. One of the big ones is vibration. And you can't really, you know, some organizations, they have condition monitoring systems that just do vibration and you're kind of locked into that system. You have to use their dashboards, their cloud platform, their system. I think the nice thing with Snap is you get to really kind of pick and choose the devices that you're using, and you get to send the data wherever you need it. So it gives you an excellent conduit to kind of send the data where it needs to go. Another thing is, I think, is education. I think training people on this is, you know, it's a thing where you have to learn how to use it. And so whether that's getting up to speed on the hardware, how the infrastructure works, how the technology works, how to integrate it into different platforms, sometimes that could be a roadblock. You know, it's just a step, and it doesn't take long to learn. And once you get comfortable with it, that's where it really gets interesting. Once you start getting comfortable with it, that's where the scalability happens. When you get comfortable with the hardware and the software, you know how to install it, how to use the software to set the server IDs on the converters, how to extract the data from the converters, or use the DXM configuration software. But really, once you get comfortable with that, that's where the scalability happens, and companies start to ramp up exponentially in how they're using it. Perhaps they're starting small, they get comfortable with the software, the hardware, they maybe they see the value in the data, maybe they catch a failure event, but then they start scaling up. But there's cases, you know, too, where just a lot of it comes down to training and education and understanding how it all works.
Makes total sense to me. Do you want to dive into, you know, the remote IO technologies that you guys offer with IO-Link?
Yeah, this is kind of new, because with Snap Signal, we're targeting mostly kind of end users and giving them access to that data. And giving them that data at their fingertips. And with remote IO, it's kind of a different strategy. We're using similar wired networks, but we're targeting kind of more at machine builders. So at the time of initial machine build, having these hardware on their machines to connect data, sensor data and device data, actuator data, to their PLC at the time of initial machine build. And so if we kind of look at the evolution of connecting inputs and outputs to a control system, for years, organizations would have their IO, so their sensors, maybe a photo eye or prox or light, connected directly to input cards on your PLC, whether that's from like a Rockwell PLC, Siemens PLC. There's many different controller platforms out there. Mm-hmm. But with directly wiring sensors back to a, you know, a huge control cabinet with input cards on your PLC, you know, there's cases where you have hundreds and hundreds of sensors, hundreds of devices that you have to land on your input cards. So each wire you have to land individually on the input card. And that leads to issues. You know, that's going to be, first off, large control cabinets. You're going to have many different input and output cards in your PLC. I've also seen cases where there's just so many wires and troubleshooting becomes an issue. Mm-hmm. Imagine having to troubleshoot, you know, sometimes over time, a control cabinet can be look like spaghetti with all those wires going back. And if you say have 128 sensors going back to your PLC, each sensor has four wires or three wires they have to land individually on your input cards. You know, that's 500 wires. That's 500 opportunities to make a wiring mistake. And troubleshooting, you know, all those different wires, it becomes time consuming. And so as we look at the evolution of connecting remote IO to a PLC, companies started looking at using, you know, passive junction blocks. So instead of having to wire all your IO back to a PLC directly, they started looking at using junction blocks, which basically are these blocks that stand on your machine. You have your sensors going to the block, but then you have a home run connector going back to your PLC. So bulky, maybe an M23 19-pin home run connector going back to your PLC. And that cleans up your wiring a little bit, but it still is an issue with wiring and other things with having these passive junction blocks, just passing those signals back. When things really got interesting is we look at decentralized automation with remote I/O is companies started using network I/O blocks. And so network I/O blocks means you could have your I/O on a network as part of a decentralized automation system where you have these blocks on your machines that have different input types. So you could have a discrete input block or discrete output block or an analog input block where you have a block that maybe has 8 ports on it, M12 connectivity, you're wiring your sensors into that block, and you could network those blocks together because they'll have Ethernet and power pass through. And instead of having all those wires now going directly back to your PLC, you're now looking at having just one Ethernet connection going back to your PLC. So the size of your control cabinet instantly shrinks by a massive proportion. Diagnostics gets so much easier because you're just having to use M12 cord sets or quick disconnect cord sets to bring back your I/O to your PLC. There's less wiring mistakes. You're basically just plugging it in. You're not wiring much at all. And then that helped, you know, so many organizations immensely is using these network I/O blocks. And when things really get interesting, and you know, Banner has expanded its portfolio in the remote I/O space with IO-Link masters and IO-Link hubs and IO-Link converters. Now this is where it gets really interesting, because with IO-Link masters, we've got different options ranging from 2-port IO-Link masters to 4-port to 8-port IO-Link masters. And when you look at IO-Link, you could incorporate things like connecting your IO-Link sensors directly to your IO-Link master. Absolutely, you could do that. There's over 400 members in the IO-Link consortium. And the beautiful thing about IO-Link is everything plays together nicely. All these manufacturers came together to create an easy-to-use, low-cost method in which sensors can send more data than just your traditional switching output. And you really only need a couple of things to get an IO-Link system up and running. You need an IO-Link master and an IO-Link device. But if we look at not just more data from the sensor that is made possible by IO-Link, which I could spend the whole day on, I'll probably talk a little bit later. When you start incorporating IO-Link hubs into an IO-Link master, you could really simplify your wiring immensely. It's unbelievable how much OEMs can simplify, reduce cost, improve diagnostic, simplify device replacement by using IO-Link. And when you use hubs, that allows us to connect a hub to a port on our IO-Link master. So you could use an 8-port IO-Link master, have an 8-port IO-Link hub, which is an IO-Link device. And to that IO-Link hub, you could have 16 discrete IO. So what that means is you could now have 8 ports of IO-Link master, 8 IO-Link master ports, 8 discrete IO on each of those ports with the IO-Link hub. And now we could look at doing 128 discrete IO on one IP address going back to your PLC. If you're to look at doing just one Ethernet connection on one master going back to your PLC, if you're looking at directly wiring those 128 discrete IO, you're previously looking at 500 wires that you have to land. Cabling becomes more expensive. Installation time becomes longer. Downtime is going to be more likely because there's going to be wiring mistakes. Then we talk about the advantage of just standardizing on M12 connectivity with IO-Link. And so Banner has many different IO-Link masters and hubs to choose from, whether you're using discrete IO for your IO-Link hubs, analog IO for your IO-Link hubs. If you're looking to convert legacy sensor signals like a 4 to 20 or 0 to 10 volt signal over to IO-Link, we could convert that seamlessly with some of our converters. And when you look at some of our differentiators in the remote IO space, I think for one, people look at our products and you go, this is a really unique form factor. Just at first glance, it's kind of, we talk about the differentiators, kind of what makes Banner unique in this space is the fact that we have, you know, a kind of a side exit form factor with our remote IO products. And companies like this for a lot of reasons. For one, it's probably among the most compact in the industry for IO-Link and remote IO because the side exit ports really help improve cable routing on machines. With top exit blocks, sometimes you run into issues with cable bend and kinking and cable bend radius issues where you have cables going in different directions. And it, over time, if there's movement in particular, those cable bend issues will start to reduce the signal integrity of the I/O going back to your hub or your master.
Yeah, sure.
And so we've got the unique form factor, but really that's just the tip of the iceberg. I think with differentiators, we've got the ability to say the fact that ours are stackable. So we could actually stack our blocks on top of each other. That's been used in very, you know, small machine designs where space is at a premium. They're looking to fit as much remote I/O into small space as possible to bring the data back to their PLC. But then we start to kind of expand on that further, looking at some kind of what makes Banner unique is some of our advanced programmability. Our IO-Link masters, our DXM R110AK and our DXM R94K, has some advanced programming and scripting via Script Basic, MicroPython, action rules that allow us to put logic directly within our IO-Link masters and our other DXM controllers. This is huge because in some simpler applications, PLCs can be overkill. And we've actually seen instances where people have replaced controllers entirely in their machine designs and standardized on just the IO-Link master. And they've replaced the need for a control cabinet. Now they have an IP67 on-machine solution ready to go. And using the logic within the controller itself gives them that ability to replace the PLC, save thousands of dollars just on the hardware of the PLC, and standardize on our advanced programmability. Also in our hubs, some of our discrete hubs and our analog hubs, we've got some advanced programmability, things you could do with logic, on delays, off delays, taking away some of that burden from the PLC. If you're using it just as the basic consolidator for bringing in discrete and analog I/O and other signal types into an IO-Link ecosystem, absolutely, we could do that. But also when you look into some of the unique things we could do, it's really powerful what we could do with some of the programmability within our hubs. I think there's so many advantages to using, I think, IO-Link, and I could spend a lot of time talking about the advantages, but I'll go through them quickly. Advantage one, I think, would be the fact that you could wire device replacements seamless. You could use data storage mode on an IO-Link master to store the configuration within the IO-Link master, and now you could just plug in your sensor. And if you, lo and behold, a forklift driver runs over your sensor, you could plug in a new one and it'll automatically configure the sensor for you.
Wow.
Standardize and reduce wiring. That's a huge one. And kind of talking about that with the example of directly wiring your IO. And then if you use hubs and IO-Link, you're significantly going to save on hardware costs. Wiring is going to be seamless with M12 connectivity. Your cables and part numbers are going to not only vary by length. If you want to connect non-IO-Link devices to an IO-Link network, not a problem. We've got our converters, our hubs that allow us to connect all these discrete analog RTD signals, all these different signals to an IO-Link infrastructure. Increased data availability. I mean, IO-Link incorporates process data, service diagnostic data for continuous diagnostic, and that's process data sent to the IO-Link master automatically. And then we could just change device configurations remotely from the PLC or from our software. I love IO-Link, the potential for it. It's grown year over year, 25% year over year. I mean, the number of IO-Link nodes out there in the world, and Banner has grown kind of with that, and we're growing exponentially within our IO-Link masters and our IO-Link hubs and converters in the remote IO space. Mm-hmm. But of course, Banner's been providing IO-Link solutions with our sensors and our lighting products for years. So we also have IO-Link devices as well. So IO-Link is one of my favorite topics to talk about, as you could probably tell, Josh. It's
no, good.
Any questions you have on IO-Link?
Well, and maybe I'm thinking at this the wrong way, but wouldn't footprint also be a nice thing that you could you gain, you know, you don't have to have maybe the control box is smaller or something. So when footprint's an issue, this will help, could help with that as well. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the footprint is a big advantage, I think, for us. And the fact that we have not only a very compact device for our masters and our hubs and our converters, but also the fact that we've got some advanced programmability that could, you know, replace, take some of the burden off the PLC, or in some cases, almost replace the controller entirely in certain smaller, simpler applications.
Yeah, that's exciting to, you know, you can't always change your factory floor space, right? Or just expand. Yep. So that could be a little little added bonus. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask about Banner, and you're working with your customers and who they are. Do you work directly with, you know, the manufacturers, end users, or is it primarily systems integrators such as Calvary? And how does that work with the customers?
We work a lot with integrators. We've got area sales managers in different regions. We've got strategic account executives who work with certain customers as well. We work a lot with integrators. Integrators are fantastic support. We work together all the time on projects for, you know, integrating this technology into new machine designs, new builds. So we do work a lot with integration partners all the time. And it's, we greatly value our partnerships with integrators. They provide tremendous value. So we kind of work a lot with integrators. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then do you also work with end users directly for installing in, you know, your new your products?
Yeah. So with end users, oftentimes we absolutely initial pilot programs. We love to go and visit our end users and help them get up and running. We've got a sales team that really specializes in doing that. You know, we've got different groups within Banner who specialize in going into end users, you know, doing site surveys, doing with some of our wireless products, helping them getting set up on a pilot program, perhaps on an injection molding machine that they might be monitoring, for example, helping them get up and running, getting comfortable with the software and providing support when needed. We've also got a tremendous, you know, application support team that's kind of gives them the option if they're getting up and running to give them the support they need at their fingertips just by giving us a call, but also at the facility. A great thing is just go and visit. We love going on customer visits to our end users and seeing the applications. And I personally get a ton of value out of doing that, going on those sales visits and helping look at these applications, helping them install these devices, and even giving us new product ideas for new things to come. It's been a lot of fun. And one thing I want to mention before, you know, I talked about IO-Link as part of our remote IO strategy, but we all could also use, I talked with Snap Signal, that Modbus infrastructure, that serial RS-45 infrastructure. OEMs are using that as well, in addition to IO-Link with our remote IO products. So it's not just IO-Link that we could do. Mm-hmm. Similar way of gathering data, but we're just using Modbus RTU to gather data. And it's another great option for OEMs who perhaps want looking to use Modbus as opposed to IO-Link for gathering data, because we have the same strategy with Modbus hubs, Modbus converters that are used in Snap Signal applications, but also be used to send data instead of on end user machines that already have a PLC installed. These devices could be used to send data to a PLC at the time of initial machine build. Perhaps if they want to use the advantages of Modbus, such as the ability to collect a lot of data, the ability to run long cable distances from your Modbus servers to your Modbus controller. And then from the Modbus controller, sending the data to your PLC via Ethernet IP, Modbus, TCP, and Profinet. But there's kind of differences, I think, between Modbus and IO-Link that are important to kind of go over. And the advantages of one versus the other, I think, when you look at Modbus versus IO-Link, there's kind of decision trees that you can look at. And there's advantages to one versus the other. For one, with Modbus, you have longer cable lengths that you could run between your controller and your Modbus server. With IO-Link, you're limited to 20 meters between your IO-Link master and your IO-Link hub or your IO-Link device. So it really depends on the application. But the nice thing is with both infrastructures, you could standardize in that nice M12 unshielded connectivity But Banner has kind of two strategies there with remote I/O, both in Modbus and IO-Link as options for getting machine builders the data back to their PLC for control applications.
So robust. I mean, it's covering all your bases, right?
Yeah. We've got flexibility and even combining the two if we need to. We've got an IO-Link master that has a multi-protocol of the DXMR94K that not only has the four IO-Link master ports, but it has a Modbus client port as well that gives us the ability to tie into those Modbus devices as well. So it's basically like almost like a hybrid master. No one else really has something like that. So we've got a unique product there too.
Wonderful. For some of the industries that Banner kind of plays in, food, beverage, electronics, material handling. But then some of the standouts when I was, looking over with like airport and baggage handling, traffic and parking, agriculture. Are there any other new or surprising industries on the horizon for Banner?
Yeah, I think when you look in applications, there's we're in so many different areas. I think one area I think that's quite interesting with data collection, it's not necessarily an industry, but as companies start gathering the data, looking at what's going to be happening with new technologies, artificial intelligence, how are these things going to be helpful in those types of discussions? It's new. I think a lot of organizations are kind of still looking into using artificial intelligence to kind of optimize their facility, but how is that going to play out in the next few years? And I think that's going to be very interesting to monitor. It's a new concept. A lot of people are kind of just still wrapping their heads around artificial intelligence, but I think it's going to be real in the next several years as companies start incorporating, this data collection, formulating their IoT strategies long term, and Snap Signal in particular, and some of our industrial wireless products, how that'll play into those discussions for giving them the data that they need. Other industries, I think the entertainment industries, things like when some applications we've been working on recently are in, theme parks, water parks, automation in those types of industries, where they're starting to incorporate, they're incorporating automation, but those industries are kind of here to stay. But how those technologies, how our technologies are being used in those kind of unique industries you wouldn't really think about for automation, but it's certainly there. Automation all over it, theme parks, water parks, rides. We started to see this technology, with remote I/O and data collection applied in those areas. And it's really cool to see that area grow. I think that's something that's always going to be there. I think people always like going to theme parks, going, having fun.
Yeah, you can't do that digitally, right?
Yeah,
you have to go do it.
You have to go do it. I think those industries are going to stand the test of time. Yeah. And people are always going to enjoy those things. And certain industries, we all know, fluctuate. There's ups and downs, there's ebbs and flows, perhaps in the semiconductor industry. But I think there's certain stable industries that are always going to be there and they're always going to stay. You hear about certain other industries moving to other countries or other locations. Mm-hmm. But I think certain markets are always going to be there. And I think it's funny, those little things like those, entertainment, I think that's quite an interesting market that I've been fortunate enough to kind of have some discussions on. And I think it's really cool to see. And be very cool to be on a ride and be like, I see a Banner sensor on there, or I see a Banner light. And I was in Universal Studios a couple of years ago, and there's Banner product everywhere. It was really cool to see it, and how those types of organizations are starting to use this technology, kind of separate from industrial automation.
That's really interesting. So keep your eyes peeled next time you're at a theme park for Banner technologies.
Sure. There's automation all over. And yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Be on the lookout for the sensors and the lighting and the controllers. It's all over those roller coasters. And it's really cool to see it.
I can just see you talked about visiting customer sites that you go up to your supervisor and like, Sean, I already see your bathing suits on. I assume you'd like to go and check out this customer at the water park.
It'd be a fun customer visit.
Yeah, I just want to go see what's up there, see how we can help them out.
Yeah,
maybe exactly. Go down a water slide or two.
Oh, that's for sure. Great. For sure.
Awesome. Is there any other things, topics or points you wanted to kind of touch on before we close things out today?
No, I really thank you for the opportunity to chat with you, Josh. It's great chatting with you. If you have any questions, if any of your customers have any questions, feel free to reach out to us anytime. It's really been great to be here. I think we're kind of at a time where it's kind of unprecedented opportunities for Snap Signal and remote IO as companies are standardizing on, you know, IO-Link and Modbus and data collection and how we could help them. And so it's kind of really a great opportunity. If you need any support, you know, Banner's here for you. So just want to thank you again, Josh, and I really appreciate the time and the opportunity to have this discussion.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. So everyone, you know, like your site says, monitor your factory data in a snap. I like that.
Yeah.
Kind of sums it up nicely. What is the best way to contact Banner or even yourself?
So you could reach out to me directly. You could reach out to me by email. If you contact Banner, if you go to the Banner website, so bannerengineering.com, mm-hmm. you'll be able to find all of our contact information, product information. You'll also be able to access our technical support number. So if you have any questions, you could also ask for more information, submit a request online. If you have a certain question, you could just type it into the chat there and we'll be able to provide you support directly via message. Or I often like to recommend just giving us a call to some of our application support engineers if you're working on a certain application, you're looking at deploying some of this technology. And then always feel free to reach out to the, you know, the product groups directly, myself included. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions, I want to dive deeper, but we're here to support in any way.
Awesome. Yeah, your site's awesome. So I'd really recommend people checking that out. Lots of great resources. You know, head over to, I think, like your socials. I'm sure you guys post a lot of great content there as well. Yeah. So
follow us on LinkedIn. I think we do a really great job of showcasing some demos, our products and real life applications. A lot of great stuff on our LinkedIn. So be sure to follow us on Banner Engineering on LinkedIn as well.
Great suggestion. Well, thanks again for your time, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Josh. Really appreciate the time.
And thank you to all the listeners. Make sure to subscribe to Advanced Automation wherever you get your podcasts and head over to calvaryrobotics.com to listen to other episodes. Watch our series, Calvary TV. Check out our blog as well as other great content under the resources tab. Have a great day.